Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, it's Ida here, taking a moment to tell you all about Ida Active. That's right, my other baby, the one that Robbie did not freak out about. Anyway, I'm so fucking proud of it, and I'm here to tell you more. Ida Active is here to give you bras that keep your tits happy, make you look shit hot, and to fight camel toe crime. Unless, of course, that's your thing. All the products are inspired by my favorite memories of growing up in the 80s and my passion for all things fucking fantastic. I'd love you all to go check it out. So head to www.shopida.com to take a look. And as a little treat, use the code IDAPOD, AYDAPOD, for 25% off your first order. Because who doesn't love a bargain? Fuck yeah. Now, back to business. On this week's special bonus episode of Postcards from the Edge, we are chatting to none other than the world's most famous PE teacher. Yep, it's fitness god and all-around great guy. Jesus Christ, it is the body coach himself, Joe Wicks. I was so excited to talk to Joe as his YouTube workouts kept both myself and my kids sane during lockdown, which I don't even know how he managed to do that from a little TV screen when I couldn't do it in person. But thank God, all hail Joe Wicks for those workouts. From boot camps in the park to building his body coach empire, getting the nation fit, and receiving an MBE, which Robbie Williams does not actually have, Joe has certainly had an amazing journey so far, and I have a feeling he hasn't finished yet. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Joe Wicks. I have Joe Wicks sat with me here, and I am actually freaking out in kind of like a little girl fitness way, because I remember meeting Joe when, I don't know if you even remember, but on Loose Women, you were one of the first guests that I was a panelist on, and I have been such a fan of what you've been doing and how you've been transforming people's lives. And that is before the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit and you became a center feature to my salvation and the salvation of my kids. You became a friend in the living room and an inspiration to get out of weird headspaces and what the heck's going on in the world. And I just feel so grateful that you're taking the time to sit with me today, Joe. Like, major props. My family is grateful for you. I am grateful for you. And I am incredibly proud to have you on this podcast and discuss what takes us all to the edge. So without further ado, Joe Wicks.
Oh, thank you so much. I had no idea that you and your family were taking part in the PE with Joe workouts. That's amazing. Thank you.
Totally. I was just saying before we started recording this that Charlie is literally in the room behind me doing your workout. I can't even tell you such a saving grace, because here I was with four young kids, and we'll get on to you having three young kids. But it wasn't until the pandemic that I really fully appreciated how many kids I have, because they were always out and going and doing activities and meeting friends. And all of a sudden, they were all under one roof. We couldn't go out. I didn't know what to do with them. They had lots of energy. And it was like, it was a free fall. And then all of a sudden, this like magic, like Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor happened, because you came into our living rooms and literally, it was our morning meditation. It was our morning get together. It was the way we came together. And the kids were so excited and got so involved. I think it was the first time they actually engaged with fitness in a proactive, positive way. And you were the star of that. And how you rallied in the midst of such a weird fucking time in the world and just like pulled the nation together and inspired so many families to come together in a really healthy way. It's remarkable. So
I love please. That. That must have been absolute chaos having four kids all running around the living room. But yeah, I tried to just make it fun, and I wanted to bring families together for a difficult time. And that was my kind of, you know, my gift to the world. It's my proudest achievement. I don't think I'll ever do anything in my life that will be so impactful, you know, than those lockdown workouts. So I'm so glad that your boy as well, the fact that he's choosing to do it is for me the ultimate win. Because, you know, if a child can really fall in love with exercise and off their own back want to stay active and look after their mental and physical health, it's such a powerful thing. So that's such a great success story. I love that he's still doing them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like it's pretty remarkable too, because I consider myself a very fit person, someone who cares about wellness, and you know, that's something that drives me and keeps me sane in my own heart space, head space. And I've always tried to kind of inspire my kids to, you know, go on hikes with me and do fun workouts and activities in the garden. But I have to say, I had not been able to achieve what you were able to achieve with my children, connecting to them, even with me in space with them, being their parent. You were somehow able to, through a television screen, through a computer screen, able to inspire them in a way that I wasn't able to. So that's like a magic power.
Oh, well, you know what? It's my energy. When I shifted my energy into working with children in schools and doing the tours and stuff, like it's when I'm most alive, because I can see the impact it has. And I know that there's a lot of children in the UK and around the world suffering with their mental health through screen time and social media and all the kind of pressures of a young person. So for me, like when I do the school visits and I do the online stuff with kids, it gives me so much energy, you know. So to hear you say that, like, I love that, because, you know, I had the impact, and then you sort of think, are people still doing them? Are people still engaging? But the fact that he's chosen to do a Pee with Joe workout on YouTube for me is like the best thing. It gives me such a smile. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm happy to report it. I was thinking, like, because obviously the pandemic, and we'll move on from that because there's so many things now post pandemic, but in the pandemic, you know, everyone had their own kind of struggle, confrontation of an uncomfortable time, you know, this new pivot that we had to do. You know, it was like no one understood. How did you crawl out of your own stuff? Because you would have, and being you have your business, your children, your wife, but there must have been moments in it where it was super confusing, overwhelming, you know, bizarre for you. Like, how did you kind of pivot in your own head to create this lane, to create these workouts, and to kind of move out of your own stuff?
I think looking back, you know, I didn't really I didn't really stop and process what was going on until lockdown finished, because the moment it was announced on the Thursday night, you know, I said on Monday morning I'm going to go live, and I started those workouts on the Monday morning, and I did it every single day, Monday to Friday, for 18 weeks. So it was like a whirlwind, you know, because I was doing the media and the interviews around it, and I was just in it every day. So I think for me, like, that was my therapy. That kind of kept me focused. It gave me a real purpose and a sense of direction. And so obviously I had Rosie helping out with the kids, and it was chaos. But I think it was only when it finished that I had a delayed reaction to the whole thing, and I felt really kind of overwhelmed by the response and the messages and the emails and things that were coming in, because it was like I was working the hardest I'd ever been, and I didn't really stop to think or feel or process what was going on. And, you know, when I realized I hadn't seen my family and friends and my mum and dad, and we were all really close, like, it was quite an emotional time when it ended, because I felt like, you know, I sort of lost my purpose for a little way. I lost my way for a little bit, and I felt like my purpose was kind of, I wasn't useful, sort of thing. But then I realized, you know what, although I'm not getting 100 million people working out of me this month, I'm still getting millions of people moving. And so I kind of refocused on that and got myself back in a positive headspace, I think.
Yeah, I can't, you know, it's funny. I never even thought about what that would have felt like for you to have that, like, because it was such an intense period and you went for so long. And it's weird because you were kind of the one getting everyone on track. And I actually, not till you said it, didn't even think what it must have been like afterwards. Because now all of a sudden, it's like everyone kind of goes back and you have this big impact. And where do you go from here? And I know, like, when I see Rob, he kind of, you know, like after a tour, you know, it's like it's the same kind of thing. It's like he's on the road. It's show. He's in that moment. He's not thinking about anything. And you've got, you know, millions of people over months watching you. And then all of a sudden, there's a day when the tour ends. And you're just supposed to, like, come home and pick up your life. And it can be very overwhelming for him. You know, he can get actually quite depressed after a tour because of that same feeling of, what's my purpose now? I've done the thing, you know, where do I go from here? And so I guess that takes me as like, you pivoted, like, how do you, besides fitness, because obviously fitness is the number one tool you have to get out of a bad headspace. But when it must be interesting when fitness is also your business, and maybe there must be times when you want to, when even you are stressed about business and that business is fitness, like how you move away and how you get out of that. Like, are there tools you have besides working out, or when work becomes the stressor, like how you kind of, like, how do you pivot? How does Joe Wicks, who seems to have it like all together, like how do you navigate a feeling that's uncomfortable in your life?
I think I go through kind of like anybody. I have quite seasonal kind of highs and lows, motivations high in certain times of the year. And, you know, sometimes I feel a bit burnt out. And I think because I'm quite good at my time, I really understand that if I'm going to do a really intense, let's just say I do a schools tour, I visit 10 schools in a week, it's really amazing, but the energy I need is quite high. And I'll make sure that I factor in downtime. So, you know, downtime. So I'll switch off my phone and I have a weekend away with the kids and Rosie. And it's little moments like that, just kind of allow myself to decompress and be in nature. I really believe in the power of nature, you know, being in the, you know, whether it's by the beach in Santa Monica or going to Brighton Beach or going to the forest and going around Richmond Park. I just love getting outside in nature. So when I'm living in this digital world, I'm doing all the content and filming everything. You know, I have that time where I say, right, I'm going to stay off my phone, no social media. And that kind of resets me. It kind of re-energizes me. That really helps. Another thing, which is a bit kind of wacky, I do the ice baths and the sauna and stuff. So if I'm stressed out, I jump in there and it seems to just clear my mind a little bit. So that's a kind of another tool I've got at my disposal. I'm not really good at the whole meditation thing, but when it comes to like the ice bath, that really helps refocus and clear my mind to get me kind of energized for the next day.
You know, we had Wim Hof on this podcast, which
what a character.
Oh my God, he's incredible. Like, again, another one where I was like, really, he's doing the podcast? And I was fascinated and intrigued and excited when I spoke to him. And I've been doing his breathing techniques, you know, when I have the moment. I'm not great at meditation either. I don't put the work in consistently. But when I do it, I'm always like, you know, wondering why I don't do it more. But the ice bath for me, I've been having this conversation with myself about like taking it to the next level and doing the ice bath. And I tried, I was in Argentina recently and I tried, there was a plunge pool that was freezing cold and I got in it and I got swiftly back out of it. How do you even brave yourself to do that every day? That's kind of...
Well done for trying. Yeah, it's one of those things like you just build up your tolerance. I used to have cold showers to begin with and then I thought, right, I'm going to step it up and I just got a little kind of ice tub thing and just threw some ice cubes in and you know, just kind of built up the tolerance. But I think it's more of a mental thing than a physical challenge for me because I feel like it just, it's for me, it's the breathing. So I do the breathing, I get focused. It kind of brings you back to that real like moment. You're very present. And I think when I'm living in the social media digital world, it's constant. It's always on. You know, I'm always replying to messages. I'm constantly engaged with people. So I don't know, it just sort of snaps me into the moment. And I do find it really helps with my stress and if I'm feeling a bit anxious about things. So I've got one at the end of my garden. I do it every day, like every single day. If I'm in the UK, I'm here, I love it. And so, yeah, I do it every morning, probably for sort of 2 or 3 minutes at a time. And it just really straightens me out. I love it.
That's so good. Honestly, that's goals for me. Like I want to get brave enough to just like get in the headspace, get in the zone and do that. Cause I truly believe it's good for you. Like when I was talking to Vim, it was like, he blew my mind with the benefits of it. And I was like, okay, I've got to get on this.
Well, Rosie, my wife, you know, I can't get her in there for love or money. I said, come on, like face your fear. You can do this, girl. Like I believe in you. And she dipped her like legs in and maybe her bum for like 2 seconds and jumped straight out. But she's just not into that kind of uncomfortable feeling. But I think when you push past that initial fear of like, you know, the uncomfortable sensation, it becomes quite addictive and you actually look forward, you know, in a weird way, you look forward to the feeling of like the sensation afterwards and the mental clarity. It's really powerful. So Wim Hof's been saying this for 30, 40 years, whatever it is. Everyone's obviously now getting on like me and other people are jumping on it. But he's been talking about it for years, for, you know, helping with your mental health and your anxiety and depression. It's powerful. It really does something to the body.
No, I was going to ask you if Rosie does it because I'm like, and I was about to say, like, how does it work? Because obviously when you're married to you, I imagine that fitness has to be a strong part of your relationship together, that you would like work out together and kind of seek this journey together. Was she, when you met her, was she already that person or has she become that person by being your partner and like kind of like come on that fitness journey with you?
You know, I'm really proud of Rosie's journey because I think when we first met, you know, she wasn't that into fitness, and she would sort of every now and again, I'd say, come on, let's do a little workout together. But she's really, I think since having the kid, she's become really into it. She's really found that love for fitness, especially strength training. She hates HIIT training. She'd never like do a HIIT workout of me. She doesn't like getting out sweaty, but she likes doing the strength. So she would do, you know, do some dumbbells and some kettlebells and stuff. And, you know, it's just really nice to see that she's self-motivated. She's intrinsically motivated because, you know, as a new mum to like to three children under four, like it's such a stressful thing. And I always say, look, find the time, look after yourself. And she's really now realized that it's not just about body image. It's really for her to let go of some of that stress and anxiety and that tension that little kids that are fighting around you every day is quite tough. And yeah, so she's actually, she's kind of self-motivated now. She does about three workouts a week. You know, I find time in the morning, she'll do it in the afternoon and, you know, when Lenny's napping or something. And yeah, she's really into it and she looks fantastic. I'm proud of her because it is hard, you know, staying fit with a newborn baby. My daughter, Lenny, she smiles all day long, but she just doesn't sleep. She's really, really bad sleeper. So you're battling against that, which is the hardest thing to get motivation, I think.
I mean, I remember when I had Charlie and it was like, he did not sleep well. And I had Teddy and she had just turned two. And I remember turning to Rob going, I'm just so tired. And I kept going like, how am I ever going to get back in shape? Like, it just felt like so far away because there was no way on this little sleep that I was ever going to be able to like crawl into a gym and like lift anything. And it was a real challenge to kind of like find myself again. And I was, you know, like, it's funny, when we last spoke, I remember you came on Loose Women, you were next to me. I just remember thinking you were like the nicest guy ever. And it was like, I think the topic was, besides your fitness, was like you and Rosie had just become like public dating. Like you had like made it like Instagram official or whatever it was, you know, we were talking about Rosie and that's kind of like where the conversation ended. And it's like, now we're picking up years later. You've not only married Rosie, but you guys have had three kids in 4 years. Like there is a whole huge chapter that has happened since I last met you. And I'm wondering like, cause obviously, you know, we're talking about de-stressors and fitness. And, you know, you had this whole kind of, you know, fitness journey happening before you became a dad. But how has it shifted? Because everything explodes when you have kids. How has kind of Joe that I met when he was just dating Rosie versus Joe now, who's married to Rosie with three kids in this huge career, like how has it all changed in your life? And I know that's a vague question, but, you know, like how has your self-care changed? How has your relationship to what you do and what you don't do changed? Like, how has it all transitioned?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a massive change having kids. And I love being a parent. It's one of my favorite things. And obviously, I've got three kids. I'm catching up with you. But we actually want like four or five as well. And we talk.
I know. I read that. I just like, I sent five kids. My eyeballs almost popped out. And I thought, why are you popping your eyeballs out? You've got fucking four kids.
Yeah, you're not far off.
I'm not far off.
But we love it. We love being parents. I think that's the biggest challenge for us in a relationship is like, you know, parenting and obviously finding time for ourselves. And luckily, I'm so blessed. My mum had me so young. My mum had me when she was 19. So,
oh, wow.
I've got a really young mum who can take the kids and have, you know, the kids for the night and we can have fun weekends away. Like we went to Coachella in April and I couldn't do those things. It wasn't for my mum. So the fact that she came over and she had, you know, the time for us means that we managed to like maintain that closeness and that friendship that you need, because it is hard. Like my kids are amazing, but they argue all day. They stress you out. We never get to talk at all around the kids because they're always interrupting you. So just having like 2 hours for a dinner or going to watch a movie sometime is all it takes. But, you know, yeah, we love the kids. We've made the decision just after getting back from America that we're going to homeschool because we want to travel and be together. And we just can't wait to actually like have that freedom to be on the road and move together. Is that what you do?
That's what we do. That's what I was like. I was like, we can unpack this. We can talk about this. Yeah, Rob and I homeschool our children because we kind of face, you know, there are, and we can talk about this another time or maybe it's another podcast. You know, there are challenges presented, obviously, with it, but there are some huge, amazing benefits to it. And, you know, we were kind of the same way. It's really hard when you're, you know, like you're a freelancer. We're freelancers, you know, like we go where the work is and we're kind of these gypsies that like to roam and travel the world and see things. And I think kind of what happens when you see the world is you want to see more of the world and you want to have more adventures. It's really hard to be in one place. Like Rob and I really kind of have these conversations because you know, my kids are older than your kids. Teddy's now 10, my oldest is 10. And, you know, you kind of have to start having these conversations where she's kind of going, well, I don't really want to go all around. I want to have friends and I want to be here. And you're like, but look at how cool this is. Or look at how cool, you know. And so we have these kind of conversations where could we be just one place? And I think we really struggle with the concept because we're so addicted to seeing the world and the adventures and the kind of things that open up when you see different cultures and experience different things. It's very hard to then recontain that at some point.
Yeah.
And I have to say it's been a blessing for us because look, Rob's schedule is like your schedule. You know, it's like he's working here, he's working there, and it's intense. And, you know, now that you're a California boy, which I'm incredibly proud of, you know, when we're in California, you know, if he's working in, you know, I don't know, Germany, he can't just pop home for 2 days off and come see us, you know? And if he's on a European tour, that the same goes. It's like, that's 2 months away. He can't, with 1 day off, come and see us. So, you know, our choice really is, do we live apart and let him work and I raise the kids? Or do we just kind of try and do this thing together and stay together? And I think for us, we've chosen for the time being is just to stay together and kind of roam with these, you know, roll deep as a posse, you know. And it's become, you know, obviously more and more chaos with more and more kids. Just like you, you're not alone. My kids, especially my oldest two, are constantly fighting, constantly interrupting me. There is always an issue, always a drama. I live in Emmerdale, Coronation Street, you name it. I'm in the drama all the time. You know, and obviously the more kids, you're kind of traveling around like a circus. But I feel very grateful that we've been able to, via homeschooling, stay together as a unit, stay connected, have that time so that we're not living two separate lives, you know, and kind of in separate pods where I'm raising the kids and Rob's working. So I'm really happy to hear that you're going to explore that because it's been a blessing for our family to be able to do that. But definitely, you know, if you think about, I think it was interesting with the pandemic, you know, something that brought me to the edge was trying to educate my kids in one space, you know, at one time via, you know, computer screens, you know, and that was tough, you know, because the two babies, you know, they were just drooling and grabbing toys. But the two older ones, you know, actually had to like learn stuff and they were still so young that they didn't understand sitting in front of a computer screen. And I just thought, oh my God, how am I going to do this for who knows how long? But I feel like you will be able to navigate this probably better than I was able to navigate this. And that's where, again, you became my Joseph the Amazing Technicolor. You really are Joseph at the Amazing Technicolor.
I said to Rosie, I'll be the PE teacher, you know, and I like doing reading and stuff, but I'm not good at math. We have to get a bit of help with that. And, you know, just be creative and just get them outside. I just really believe in being active and being in nature and getting fresh air. And I think they're so young still, but who knows? We're going to give it a go. I'll keep you posted and we'll see how it goes in the future. But I think for now, it just was going to suit us. And I, like I said, I'm at my happiest when we're together as a unit, when I've got Indy, Marley and Lenny and Rose, we're all together. So, yeah, I don't think I could have the impact in the career that I want if I couldn't take them with me. I just wouldn't be happy on my own in another country, you know? So I think it's a big part of my happiness and my energy comes from being around them. And that allows me to be, you know, really motivating and inspiring to other people when I do my content. And so, yeah, it's going to give it a go. We literally just decided about a month ago, so we haven't officially announced. So that's the first time I've really shared that.
I love that. What do you think is the first adventure that you're going to take? What in your brain space is like, I got to do this?
I don't know. I mean, I really want to travel. Like, I want to go to, I went to Australia in the new year and I want to go back to New Zealand. I want to sort of travel around that sort of part of the world. But it's not really about just taking off. It's more about just having flexibility to just say, you know, if I want to go and do a tour of the US and or visit schools in America, that I can just take them with me. So it's not really, I don't see us be on the road all year round because I do love being in England. Like, so we're based in the UK and I want to be near my family and friends, but we spend a few months in Santa Monica every now and again. So where's home for you? Where do you feel most at home now? Because you've obviously...
Well, this is like a weird... I love that you picked kind of... And then I wanted to know why you picked Santa Monica of all places. But, you know, it's interesting. I'm obviously from LA. I'm from California. And Rob is like you, an Englishman. And we've always kind of lived in between the two. And then for us... But then Rob's always had all this work all over the place. And then for us, I think part of our pandemic, because we love being outside, outdoors. For me, that's, you know, I've never been a super gym person. I've always been a nature person. You know, like I love the ocean. I love hiking. I love running. I like being outside. And I think there was this moment for us in the pandemic where it all, you know, it was that free fall. It was our, whatever the equivalent of pandemic midlife crisis is, you know, and my mom was ill and I couldn't get near her. And we were in the house with four kids. We were doing your workouts and we just kind of thought, what is it all about? What is our purpose? What is this, you know, this objective as a family? Because we're like you, you know, Rob's happiest when we're all together. I'm happiest when we're all together. And I'm like, what is our manifesto right now? Where are we headed? And I think for us, the idea of just being outside, like in the mountains, near the water, just felt like the saving grace. We just wanted to be kind of free and away from any noise and away from all that felt weird. Oh, look, my son's just coming here. Say hi to Joe. Look who's here. He just finished your workout. He's had a little of that. We were just watching him and working out. And Adam's here.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for doing my workouts. I love that. How are you feeling? You feeling good?
He said, thanks for doing my workout. Yeah, I'll put the headset on Charlie. Not Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie, I'm really happy to hear that you've been doing some of my P workouts. How are you feeling after that one?
Well, it's really hard, that one. The jump squats were the hardest, I'd say.
Oh, the jumping squats, yeah. And any burpees in that one? Were there some burpees?
Not any.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it's lovely to meet you, man. Thanks for doing my videos. I hope you're staying fit and happy because of doing them.
Yes.
Thank you.
You say thank you, Joe. Wow, he got a little shyder looking at you. I think he's like, whoa, wait, he's on the screen, but he's here. What? What was I going to say? So we were in this kind of headspace and we just thought, let's just run away to Switzerland. Let's just run up a mountain. We hadn't been outside in probably 6 months. We had not left our house probably. And we just said, let's just have an adventure together. Let's do something. We wanted something that felt clean and safe and uncongested. And we just kind of, having never been to Switzerland, or I've never been to Geneva or never spent any time there, we just kind of took all our dogs, took our cats, all the kids, and jumped on the plane and just landed in this, you know, new fairyland. So that was kind of, so
an adventure.
So it was an adventure, and it wasn't, I don't know, it was never a planned adventure. It just kind of happened. So ever since then, I feel like we've kind of been living amongst all those places with Switzerland as our base, and kind of then on the road with, you know, because, you know, for us during the pandemic, Rob couldn't work because everything was shut down. And so now that things have opened up, you know, he's on the road. So I got really used to having it with me. I don't want to spend months away from him. So we've just been kind of, we've been kind of like music hippies, and we've been on the road with him. We've been on shows this summer, and he's going to have festivals, and we're going to bop in and out, and the kids are going to do camp in the mountains. And we're just kind of, we're having our own Joe Wicks homeschooling adventure over here. And nature's, I think, at the heart of it. Nature's what helps me get away from the edge. And so we're leaning into nature, Joe. That's what we're doing. So I don't know where I live is the answer. I have no answer. I'm going to say Switzerland, but I'm kind of like, you know, I'd say every month or so, just off to a different land.
Oh, lucky. What a life. That's amazing. I'm glad you're together, because I think being with kids in nature, like it helps them as well with their mental health, because kids, you know, they're struggling at the moment with their mental health and with screen time and devices and social media, but being in nature just kind of lets them reset. It's so good for children to play and to be kids and stuff. So I think you're doing the right thing. It's a great way to raise your kids.
Do you know what I loved? I saw a picture of you with your kids with the like monkey bars hanging, and I was so impressed, and I thought it was so fucking cool. I was like, these kids are growing up in the best way possible. With all this, like, for you as a dad, and Rosie clearly is amazing as a mom, like, these kids are so lucky. They're going to have so much fun. They're going to be so physically fit. They're going to be unafraid, proactive, positive. Like, I just, like, in that one shot, I was like, what a great life these kids are having. I was so, like, impressed with how you're navigating three little kids. Just the way they were just, like, I'm like, me just hanging on the bar. You know, I'm like, oh, God, my grip. Oh, God, like, my shoulders. And they're just, like, happily hanging there. And like, you're there. And I was like, wow, already the foundation is laid for good stuff here.
Yeah, we have a good time, me and the kids. They're jokers. They crack me up. They're like the funniest kids, man. They got such good personalities. I think, yeah, like we role model them. So obviously when we exercise in front of them, they learn from it. When we're cooking in front of them, they're just absorbing everything. So they're the things I really value. I just want all I want for my kids is to be healthy and happy and have that connection to good food and exercise to see how much it can help them live a happy life. Because, you know, it's really hard getting teenagers moving, but if you can get them in when they're young, that's why I do a lot of primary school visits, because they're the children that really need that inspiration to become active and sort of connect the dots between movement and how they feel. And, you know, it helped me as a young kid. Like, if I didn't have exercise, I would have no doubt turned to drugs and alcohol like my parents did, you know. And I'm glad that I found fitness, because it definitely helped me. Like, you know, it was my therapy from such a young age. And I'm glad that I can sort of instill those, hopefully, those habits into my children moving forwards.
I remember that when you were on Loserman, I remember, because I didn't know anything about your background. And I remember being quite like surprised about your background. Do you know what I mean? And that you had kind of, because I would have, before meeting you, thought, oh, you know, he comes from athletic family, and this was always in the G pool, and he was in sports. And it was like, and it was really amazing and impressive to hear kind of the, you know, that you didn't come from an obvious fitness background, and this wasn't some, you know, glamorous high school athlete that just kind of sprung from this perfect environment. And I can't remember at the time what you said, how you navigated, but to just go back on it, like, how did you find fitness when, you know, I remember, you know, your parents had kind of different backgrounds, and, you know, you were the only one in your family kind of navigating this and doing it this way. What made you decide to find fitness?
Well, it was mainly through school, through PE. Like, you know, I was a very disruptive child, because so just a summary for those who don't know, my dad was a heroin addict from a very young age. So all growing up, that was, I was exposed to addiction and whatnot, and just him and out in and out of rehab. And my mum had severe anxiety, you know, extreme OCD. I can't even begin to tell you how many times a day she cleaned the house, and eating disorder. So I was in this very chaotic home life. And so for me, like, if I didn't have sport and exercise and movement, like, I would have suffered, because that was my release. I'd run to school, I'd take part in sport. You know, I was always that, you know, just ready to do any kind of physical activity, because it really helped release all that tension from my body. So yeah, that's why I'm so passionate. I think if children don't understand the importance of exercise and movement and how it can really be a tool for you throughout life to help you with emotions and mental health, then it's going to be difficult as an adult. So that was kind of the thing I lent on. And from there, obviously went down the path of being a personal trainer. And even now as an adult, you know, there's times I turn to food if I'm a bit stressed or emotional, but usually the first thing I do is I turn straight to a workout or go for a run, do a workout, get some fresh air. And, you know, it's given me a chance to actually like live a healthy, happy life. And I'm so much happy because of exercise. So for me, you're like, I just want everyone to feel that. I want everyone to just connect the dots to that, you know, rather than turn to drugs or alcohol or addiction or gambling and all these other things that humans turn to feel good. Like, you can actually get to that point by doing really beneficial things like cooking healthy food and exercising. So that, yeah, I think my PE teachers were a massive influence on me. And here I am years later doing PE with Joe. So
I know. I love that. By the way, because I know you touched upon earlier that your mom is really helpful with the kids and allows you and Rosie to kind of have adult time. Has she been able to kind of navigate some of her OCD with your workouts now that you're kind of like this mega, mega health star? Do you know what I mean? Has she been able to kind of evolve some of her stress and anxiety with the workouts that you do?
Yeah, I think for sure. You know, she's had a lot of therapy, obviously, and she's dealt with her stuff, because there's a reason my mum scrubbed her house 3 or 4 times a day. There was childhood trauma that she was experiencing that manifested in that kind of control. And obviously my dad's addiction, the same thing, a tough upbringing, like a childhood that was difficult. So it's lovely to see, you know, over the years, my mum and dad getting one of my cookbooks. Well, obviously I give them a copy of my cookbook, but cooking some of my recipes and using the Body Coach app and doing the videos and things. So yeah, definitely they're in a much better place. And you know, my dad still struggles a little bit with his mental health and depression, but he's clean, you know, he's sober. Yay. Friendship. And so I think my childhood shaped me. My childhood gave me so much motivation and drive. And even now, like, I have such a connection to young people because I was a child of addiction and growing up as a young carer. I'm so obsessed with like tapping into those, you know, those audience of young people that are probably going through difficult, you know, because it's tough at the moment for parents and the children are being affected. So I've done a documentary on mental health and parents and stuff. And I've done a lot of work in schools. And so for me, you know, I think my childhood gave me so much empathy and love and compassion that if I had a really easy upbringing, I wouldn't have been who I am. I wouldn't have had that drive to do those workouts during lockdown and be there for people. So I think I'm really grateful for my child, and I don't look back at resentment or anger. I just accept what it was, and I love my parents today. And I think that's allowed me to live my life without the trauma. Like, the trauma didn't like affect me and bring me down. It actually drove me forward. And a lot of people talk about that. You know, it can really hold you back, or it can be an amazing and a driving force to help you go and do great things with your life.
I mean, it's so nice to hear you talk about, because obviously I've met people from both sides of the equation where their childhood trauma propelled them and encouraged them and made them be incredibly dynamic, empathic, and passionate, and other people who have let the trauma eat them up, destroy their lives, and bring them down. And so it's like really amazing when you talk about it with such gratitude and positivity. It's like another reason why I'm just totally in awe of you, because it's like, wow, I love that perspective. Tell me about you.
You know, some people say would change. I just wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change my dad going into rehab. I wouldn't change my mum, because like I'm a really passionate and compassionate human being, because I think of the experience I had. So yeah, I just think sometimes you've got to just let the past be the past and just move forward with a positive mindset. And that's really how I've been from a young age, I think.
I mean, it's power that. That's a powerful, and again, where your kids are going to have that. I mean, it's amazing how you can create a completely different environment with your kids, and how that is going to be the voice that they're going to have as their kind of soil, which is so cool. What was I going to say was, and now tell me about also, because I was looking at your app. I was like going through everything. I was so like, I'm just so amazed how you fit this all in, like in your life, how you do all of this. Tell me how you kind of, because that app clearly took a lot of work to get going and continues to take a lot of work to do. Tell me kind of how you came up with the idea, because it came out in 2020, right? Your app came out in 2020. You must have been working on it well before then, the pandemic. How did you get this all together? Because I've just launched a athleisure brand past year, and it's been an incredible amount of work to get here. How did you kind of put it all together, and in the midst of doing all these videos, do your app at the same time with three kids or two kids?
Yeah, two kids and now a new one. Yeah, we started that before the lockdown. We thought we need to like innovate a little bit, because I was obviously doing my YouTube videos and I had a really basic kind of like PDF that I'd send out with workouts, but we thought let's create an app. And it was just running alongside the fact that there was obviously the pandemic. But it's amazing. I'm so proud of it, because we really have got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people a month for like doing the workouts, staying fit, you know. And it's for me, it's a product that I'm so proud of, because it really, when you commit to it, like anything, right, you know, if you're consistent with your food, because you get a tailored meal plan alongside with the workouts. And, you know, some of the transformations you might have seen me share on social media, they're amazing, you know. And it's people with kids working shifts, you know, busy people, because it's all about speed, you know. It's about short workouts, short recipes that you can actually fit into your life. And I think that's the kind of key to sustainability, you know, when it comes to fitness, because we're living in such a busy world that you don't have time to spend an hour in the gym. It'd be lovely to do that. And I think with the products I've designed, it's just very accessible. And, you know, it's like having me in your pocket. You know, you press play, choose a workout, I coach you through it, and then you've got a lovely recipe at the end. And it's just a simple way of delivering fitness and making it kind of simple and accessible to most people.
And like, is there ever time, because like you have got to be constantly working to kind of keep up all of this content and all these tours, all these ideas, all these things you're doing. Is there ever time that you just think, oh, fuck it, I don't feel like doing any of this. Like, I don't feel like it today. And what happens if that voice ever happens? What happens? Like, how do you, because you know you have to, like, how do you shift? And does that actually ever happen?
Yeah, I have like periods, like even now, like coming back from LA, like I'm a little bit jet lagged and I'm just not in a kind of performing mode at the moment. So I'm doing my own sort of workouts, but the camera stuff and actually filming it, sometimes I've got to be in the right mindset. So it takes me a few days just to get back into it. But, you know, I just start simple with a little 15-minute YouTube workout just to get myself going. And then I might film one for the app. But most of the content's shot. So obviously I film the workouts and I upload them to the app, but I'm only having to film sort of two or three a week. It's not like all day, every day. So I can have a break, you know, 10 workouts, and I can have a little bit of a break and put them on. So you've got a bit of a kind of backlog of workouts. But yeah, I have highs and lows. You know, I find it quite difficult. In the winter, it's hard, obviously, when it's cold and wet. And that's when I wish I was in Santa Monica. But
I was thinking about that today, because we have this podcast, and then later today I was going to do some Pilates. And it's amazing, because it's been sunny in the past few days. And then just last night, it just was torrential rains and it's gray. And I was like, oh, I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it today. I just want to like stay in and not. And I was like, I wonder if Joe has those moments. It's like, oh, this sucks. I don't want to go out and do anything. Also,
but I've got a motto that's basically, you know, you never regret a workout. So you always, even if you're feeling low or stressed, for me, like for me personally, when I was younger, exercise was about body image. I wanted to be lean. I wanted to change. I was skinny. I didn't like my body. As an adult now, I'm 37. I've got three kids. I actually do it because I want to be a good parent and I want to be calm and patient and I don't want to be stressed out and I want to be, you know, positive. And I think exercise for me is all about mental health. I love being strong. It's nice to feel confident in your skin. But the actual thing that pulls me back to exercise is like the mental health benefit. So how am I going to feel at the end of the workout? And, you know, as I said, being a parent for me, the most stressful thing and the most challenging thing that really takes my energy is staying calm and patient around my kids. Because when you're a child who's brought up in a household that's very, very loud and aggressive and confrontational and all shouting and swearing all the time and doors getting slammed, that is my default setting, right? So when my kids are fighting and screaming, I'm really having to try hard to stay calm and to be understanding, compassionate. So for me, like exercise, if I'm having a stressful morning, the kids have driven me mad, I run upstairs, do a bit of exercise. And when I come down, I'm a different person. And so it's when you're exercise and motivation, it's trying to tap into those things. You know, it's not about losing inches and losing weight. That's a byproduct, but it's going to make your relationships better. It's going to help you interact with your children better. And these are the things that I constantly talk about now on social media, because I think people are so fixated on the body image and losing weight and it's about how you look. But exercise is way more than that. It's really about how you feel, I think. And that's the most important message to share for me.
I mean, I totally agree. And actually something that I was thinking of was, so I have had in the past year and a half, 2 years, had a lot of injuries, one in particular that's completely sidelined me. And it's been very difficult because fitness for me too, it's mental health. It's not about the losing of the inches. That's wonderful. But it really is like a safe space in my head and it makes me a better parent. And, you know, for a long time, my example this year, I wasn't even really able to work out at all. And crawling out of this space has been difficult because, you know, when I'm not able to work out, I'm not my best self and I feel kind of down. What happens when, or if it ever does, like what happens when you get injured? Like your whole career is on your physical being in shape and your mental wellness relies on being able to do those things. Like, have you experienced any injuries where you haven't been able to do your work and get to that headspace and be that parent?
Yeah, being injured is one of the most difficult things, especially if you love exercise and you're so used to it. But I have had an injury in my hip for the past sort of 4 or 5 years where, you know, when I lunge and squat, I get this pain down the side of my hip. And I was convinced that structurally, like I just ruined my body and I was in bits. But actually committing to the stretching, the yoga and the flexibility and just a simple, like, you know, the pigeon pose and that sort of thing, I've opened up that joint. But if I don't stretch every day for at least 20-25 minutes, the pain comes back. So yeah, I'm having to just like work around it. I've never had an injury that stopped me completely, but I've been in pain doing, man, a lot.
That's
of it.
My, by the way, that's my injury is my hip. It's hip capsulitis and it's frozen hip. And it has been, I've had other injuries. This has been the most painful kind of debilitating one. It literally just stopped me in my tracks, just walking. And it's funny because I haven't been able to, I've just now, it's been a year and a half, been able to do a squat and a lunge. Because the impingement, because it kind of acts like a labor of tear, the impingement was just too painful. It makes me actually feel better that I'm like, does Joe ever have injuries? Like, what happens?
Well, I've got the same thing in my shoulder. Like, I've got this weird thing where I just can't open my shoulder. It's like so annoying when I press, you know, it's like a pain. Again, oh my God, we've ruined our bodies, haven't we? Too much exercise.
Too much exercise. That's what they say is overuse injury. I have mild capsulitis in my labrum, in my left shoulder, and slight degenerate. It's so funny. It's all the left side, which must be.
Look, we gotta get some hip replacements. We need to get a titanium hip, a titanium shoulder, and go.
So how do you like what happens when you're hurting? Because you don't have an option. Like you have to still work out. What do you do? Like how do you do that? You just grit through it.
I just think now, like I just know my body now. I know that I need to stretch, so I just do a lot more mobility stuff. I do a lot more warm up stuff, and I get myself ready for the workouts.
What made you decide to pick? I mean, because there's obviously beautiful coastlines everywhere. What made you decide to pick California, Santa Monica? What was the choice behind that?
Well, 6 years ago, not 6 years ago. It was 2010. I was on a bike trip. I actually rode my bicycle from Vancouver all the way down the West Coast to San Diego.
So no way.
And when I
on a bicycle?
On a bicycle, yeah, on a bicycle with a friend of mine.
Jeez.
I remember Santa Monica. I remember just thinking, like, I just love the outdoor lifestyle and the weirdness of Venice and just everyone on the streets and just, I love it. So, yeah, 6 years ago, we bought the place before we had kids and we go there every sort of year for a month or two at a time. And we really love it. I'm really happy there. And it's just, you can just be literally like a grandpa on rollerblades in hot pants and no one cares. You can be like skateboarding and you can just do any, you can really be yourself. I love that weirdness and just the kind of, just the creativity. It's just a fun place. It's a really unique place, isn't it, Venice?
Yeah. I mean, Apokini is probably one of my favorite streets. It's the one of the coolest, bougiest streets I've ever been on. And I love being by the beach. I mean, I'm from here. And, you know, I think, you know, Robin always, we always laugh. He always calls it Hotel California. He says you can check out, but you can never leave. Because there is something about the weirdness and the creativity and the freedom to be whoever you want that is so, and the bonkersness, you know, the silliness and the weirdness, all of it mixed together in a pot that makes California so alluring. You know, it is kind of very, people kind of go, oh, what was it like growing up in LA? That must have been so bizarre. You know, it's like, well, it wasn't bizarre to me because it's all I knew, but I have such a respect for it now that I've lived in other places and I come back. It's like, no matter where I am in the world, there is a part of me that will always want to come and check out that weirdness and, you know, and that 80-year-old woman with, you know, white blonde hair and massive breasts in like a little top and tight shorts with, you know, the guy that's completely tatted up, you know, doing barbell presses. It was just like, all of it is madness and phantasmic, and you know, there's a hippie element, the beach element, and it's just, yeah, I like weirdness too. I like the mixture of all of it. So yeah, I like that's what brought you here. I think you're gonna really love, you know, your life with your kids here. They're gonna be beach bunnies. They're gonna be British beach bunnies.
Yeah, I love it.
So what does your schedule look like? What is on the horizon for you?
So I've just announced I'm doing another tour of the UK. So I'm doing a schools tour, which I love. And what I love is 3 years ago, before lockdown, I did a tour and 18,000 schools applied, which is like mind-blowing.
Wow. Right? Wow.
And I thought, I wonder if like interest or like, you know, the kind of popularity that's going to dwindle. But actually more schools have applied this time. 24,000 schools have applied for me to visit. So we're now picking a route. We're going to map a different route through UK. And I basically do like a tour. I visit schools. I do a workout. I get the kids motivated. I speak to the teachers. And it's the one thing that it's really motivates me. It really energizes me because I realize it's part of the mission, you know, and kids are really suffering. I get a lot of messages from school teachers and heads of schools that are like seeing, you know, children's mental health declining. And from as young as 5, 6, 7 years old with anxiety so bad, they can't even go into school. So I think over the next few years, I really want to build on that. I really want to be a positive force, and I want to have a proper impact, you know, not just like me visiting 10 schools and that's it. I want to build something that has momentum and it can be, you know, like a platform or some resources to give to schools, because, you know, it is the most important thing. You know, sleep, movement and exercise and nutrition is the most important thing, and you know, you can make it kind of accessible, you can make it achievable to these children. I think that's the best thing about it. You know, I'm going to put all my energy into that. And, you know, that's really what I want to be. That's my legacy, I think. That's what I want to be remembered for.
Oh, well. I mean, I love how much you love children, by the way. It's like, wow, it's so cool hearing you. You know, it's like there's so much authentic purpose in everything that you're doing. And I can really feel like, obviously, we're on a computer screen. I'm in LA and you're in England. And I literally feel like I feel your energy talking about this and how it lights you up. And it's so cool when you talk to someone who is so connected to what they're doing and so empowered in a place of gratitude. It's a very cool thing. I'm like, wow. And I'm thinking, how do you even sift through 24,000 applicants? Like, how do you even, how many schools do you do on that? Like, how many schools will you do on this tour?
So I can usually do 3 a day. Like, it's quite tough because you go in, you do an hour or so in the school, then you've got to like drive 3 hours to the next school. So you've got to plan it so you can get to the next stop. But yeah, it's usually, sorry, that keeps beeping. It's usually 3 schools a day. We're going to start in Scotland and we're going to work our way down. We actually were looking at the map today, maybe going through Stoke. Is that where Robbie's
That's
from?
That's where Rob's from.
Yeah, I remember God. That. Thinking, I know.
He's got to go Stoke. Yeah. Come on. I've got to put a boat in.
Yeah, it's basically try and zigzag around, and you've got to try and dip into like Wales if you can. But yeah, a lot of driving. We basically just like hit the road. We go in, we do the workout, and you know, the kids are super excited because you're talking about like schools like in the middle of nowhere that never get anyone visits. They're super excited to me to be there.
Oh my God, please go to Stoke-on-Trent. Like, I mean, I don't know when you're going, and Rob's so busy, but gosh, if there was a way to cross over, that would be a proud Stokey moment for both of us if you were able to get one in for the people of Stoke. I'm putting the vote in now. No pressure. Yeah, that is so cool. I love that you do that. Like, I just, honestly, Joe, talking to you has been, you know, it's so funny because obviously I enjoyed talking to you. I remembered speaking to you many years ago on Loose Women. And I was so honored, grateful that you wanted to come on this podcast and talk. And I'm so excited to kind of meet the person who has now impacted my life so much and become this father of three, this husband, and like a captain in your space. And I can't say enough of how much I've enjoyed this talk with you. You are a gem. You are a special, unique, wonderful human. And I'm like grateful for what you're doing for kids all over the world. I believe in the power of fitness and mental health. I am so happy that there is someone like you out there rooting for kids and rooting for the well-being of people all over the world. And you personally touched my life with your workouts. And I'm just like, I just want to cheer you on and watch what you're going to do. And yeah, and make you my new California buddy. I just think you're a really cool dude. You've got, you know, you're crazy enough to have three kids. You're probably going to have 12 kids. So at some point you'll outnumber us. I'm looking forward to play dates, teaching my kids how to hang, workouts with your wife. Like, I'm just, yeah, I'm super chuffed that you came on this podcast to share all this because I think you're super impressive.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, listen, it's been amazing chatting, and I'm really glad that, yeah, I appreciate you letting me spread my message because, you know, it's something I'm so passionate about. And anyone that's listening, I always say this, you know, if you're struggling with your mental health today, just get outside, get some fresh air, you know, do a little movement. It's really going to help you, you know, get that clarity and hopefully pick up your spirits a little bit. And yeah, I think that's the most important message I'd like to share, really. Keep moving. You never regret a workout, and lots of love to you all. Postcards from the edge.
If you enjoyed this episode, please, please subscribe. I mean, it's actually begging. Rate us, review us, all the 5 stars, all the bells and whistles, please, wherever you find your podcasts. Seriously, desperate for a good review.
Also, if you want to get in touch, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is Ida Field Williams. So please let us know what you think of the podcast and even who you might like to have on as a guest. You never know, we might actually be able to make it happen. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Postcards from the Edge is a Blueprint Pods production. Executive producer Sophie Palak and producer Warren Borg. Postcards from the Edge.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.